Welcome to the Van Hack Podcast, the podcast for tech talent that wants to get hired abroad.
To join, connecting.
Is that us? Is
all good to go? Perfect. Well, welcome to Van Hack Con 2022. I'm Sean, growth manager at Van Hack, and I'm really excited to bring on Victor here. Our topic today is U.S. remote tech jobs, and just want to let Victor introduce himself so you can get a bit of context on, you know, what we're going to speak on today.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. My name is Victor. I'm a sales manager for Clipboard Health, also a CEO and founder of Mueva. I've been in the sales game tech industry right now for a little bit over a year and have over 7 years of sales experience. I'm really, really, really excited here to be speaking about these remote jobs. And thank you, Sean, for having me.
No, absolutely. No, I'm really happy that you're able to jump on. I think, you know, we're speaking on U.S. tech remote jobs, and, you know, you're a sales manager, you lead a team. I thought it would be a great idea as, you know, Clipboard Health. You want to give us a little bit of understanding of, you know, obviously a U.S. company, but just give us an understanding of what they do.
Absolutely. So, Clipboard Health, really their overall mission is to help healthcare workers in the United States move up the socioeconomic ladder. And we essentially, our idea, our target, our goal, our mission is to help tackle the staffing crisis in the U.S. for a lot of healthcare facilities. And so we have a platform that allows healthcare professionals to connect with these facilities and essentially look for flexible hours that work in their schedule for work. So if you could kind of simplify that in layman's terms, it's kind of like the Uber for healthcare professionals. So it's fantastic. It's a fantastic platform.
Cool. No, thanks for the introduction for that. And, you know, let's jump into a little bit about your team. So you're managing a team of people around the world. Like, obviously, you know, the topic is remote tech jobs. And tell me a little bit about your team, and then we can jump into, like, you know, what are the benefits and what, you know, what you can see on your day to day when managing your team.
Absolutely. And so kind of a high level overview, Clipboard Health has a global workforce, and we have talent from all around the world working night and day to make sure that we run smoothly every single day. And so we have workforce everywhere from pretty much any end of the globe. And a lot of our workforce is actually, because Clipboard Health is predominantly located in the US, specifically San Francisco, a lot of our workforce is actually from the US.
Mm. Okay. So you said you have a global workforce, but you also have teams in the US primarily. That can bring us to our first topic, right? Like, I think we chatted a little bit about, you know, obviously the flexibility of working for a US company, but yet working remotely. You know, where do you see that flexibility really play in for your team there, or even yourself?
Yeah. One of the biggest areas of flexibility really is the work-life balance, I would say. For anyone who's worked in an office or anyone who's worked in person in any kind of environment, they know that there's a lot of little things that they do that takes up a bit of time, for example, right? So going more specifically into it is things like some little things that most people wouldn't think about, like making lunches, for example. Like, you have to make yourself meals, and just even having to meal prep that for the entire week, that can consume anywhere between 1 to 2 hours. And then on top of that, if for some reason you're in a rush, you wake up late, something happens and you can't pack that lunch, your next best step is to walk across the street and spend an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes, maybe even longer than that, trying to find sustenance for the day. So little things like that. And really just a lot of places, not specifically Clipboard Health, but more places than not, allow you to really work at your own pace. So although they're paying you for a full-time salary, they have more of an open work environment where, you know, it's, if you complete your work, as long as you're completing your work within the designated timeline, we're okay for you to pick your own hours during the week. So right. I know there's quite a lot of places, and I know FanHack specifically works with software developers, correct?
Yep, exactly.
And so
yeah.
I would assume as well, is you can't really put a timeline on things like, you can't really put, you know, a cap on the work you can complete. If, you know, you have more effective and efficient software developers who can complete the same task within, you know, 2-3 days that it would typically take someone for 5 days. I know a company wouldn't have expectations for someone to work the entire 5 days. They can get it completed too. So a lot of flexibility in the hours and the pace that you can work at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I like that answer. And I mean, in that point, you touched on, you know, taking care of yourself and, you know, self-care, obviously a big thing on a lot of companies' minds, a lot of HR teams' minds. You touched on, you know, meals and whatnot. And I think, like, knowing you as a friend previous to this as well, you know, something that matters to both of us is self-care, personal development, and specifically, you know, the gym. So the flexibility that, you know, somebody can take to go, you know, have their meals properly, you know, be with their children if they have family. I think that's fantastic as well. But also being able to self-care. And I think that, you know, the fact that you have the ability to do that, you know, you don't have to, you know, go outside of the office, back to the office and get to the gym. Maybe you have something at home. You can have a quick workout, 30 minutes at the end of your lunch. That's fantastic. And I think that rolls right into the productivity side of things, right? So, you know, what are your thoughts on like flexibility for taking care of yourself there and you know, being able to, you know, do that on a given day?
Yeah, absolutely. Even using my previous example of something as small as you know, having meals ready for yourself, being properly nourished throughout your day actually determines the level of energy that you're going to bring to your workplace, right? Especially if you're mm-hmm. working in an office, or again, more specifically in an office, if you're not properly taking care of yourself and feeding yourself and making sure that you're eating properly throughout the day, your energy is going to dip, your productivity is going to dip. And mm-hmm. again, you're going to be scrambling around, and it's not going to be quite as effective for you and for the business to have someone on the team like that. So when you have that balance, for example, when you feel that energy dip, you can get up, go have a meal. More specifically on the productivity side of things of work, I get to create my own environment, right? Right now, if you don't know it, I'm actually using a standing desk, and I do all of my work using a standing desk because I feel that there's more blood flow. I get to move around. As you can see, I'm talking, I'm using my hands and whatnot. So it really allows me to activate my body, and I just get to pick my own environment, right? I could pretty much go anywhere I want. And the environment is such a big impact in your productivity. So super great there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I know the standing desk and the ability to pick your own desk and office equipment is you know, something on a lot of forefronts of people's minds, especially. So it's very cool that, you know, a lot of the US companies that I've talked to recently, they have, you know, an entry allowance for, you know, office equipment, right? So you might get that sitting desk, you might get a really comfortable, you know, office chair. You know, if you need to, you know, buy a keyboard or mouse, that's obviously really great as well. Yeah, I think it's fantastic that you can work for a US company and then they have the ability to opt that in. And then you can also, you know, you might be working in a different country, right? So I'm actually from Ottawa, Canada, and that's where Victor and I met. But right now I'm in Colombia. I'm in Medellin, Colombia, right? So the ability to, you know, say, for example, you're hiring somebody, you're working for a company in the States, you hire somebody from South America, the logistics and the supply chain is there that you can actually, you know, get that equipment out. Get that work computer out. So that flexibility is even fantastic in that point there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just wanted to add to that. It really goes to speak for companies who really do provide that kind of equipment, the inclusion and the diversity of the company itself, where just because, you know, for example, in the example of VanHack, if for some reason you don't have a laptop that or a you know, device is not capable of running the simple functions, but you are the most talented person in the world, but for some reason you just hit a rut. I know there's a lot of companies out there who obviously are willing to be, you know, ship out a device and give them the opportunity to break down that financial barrier that they might be facing right then and there. So remote companies, a lot of the time already have something set aside to recruit top talent who might not be in the right position to contribute the you know, as much as they can to the business.
100%. Yeah. So, you know, just going off that point a little bit more, I know that, you know, talking to a lot of US companies in the last, you know, few months here, it's obviously a challenge to pick up senior developers with certain tech stacks that are not the most common. You know, the ability for US companies to expand internationally on their hiring strategy is of utmost importance right now. And I think that a lot of companies they're catching on pretty quickly that, you know, they are limiting their talent, they're limiting their ability to grow and get more diverse ideas a little. You know, a lot of companies are going towards, you know, hiring internationally. It's something that a lot of intelligent companies are going towards. And, it gives them a leg up on that talent side of things. But I think the most important thing, not just just diversity, like not just, you know, hiring internationally, is the diversity of your teams, right? Like, Victor, what is like your team? You have people across the globe. Like, tell me a little bit about, you know, people in different time zones and how they can collaborate together and share different ideas there.
Oh, absolutely. It's so fantastic to see, actually to be a part of such a diverse, culturally diverse workplace, really. One of the biggest things that I notice, not specifically speaking for myself, but for others around the world who, you know, join a global workforce for remote companies, the growth. There's an immense amount of growth available, especially for companies who are more culturally diverse, I would say, right? And the reason I say that is because the idea, if we were working on a project, the idea for Sean that you would have versus that I would have would potentially be completely different and unique because of the of what we've experienced through our own lives, right? So the amount of growth available for joining a remote and culturally diverse company is immense, right? You get to stand out as uniquely you with your own ideas that may not be the same that someone else has. And kind of going deeper on that, the productivity increases so much. I mean, there are some times where, you know, we're presenting project ideas and presenting, you know, different ways to better succeed as a team. And here comes someone from, you know, the Philippines or you know, Argentina with such a unique idea that I have never heard before, completely coming up with such a unique solution. And that's simply because of their experience, of the work experience, of their life experience that they're coming from. Imagine that little kind of whoa moment in just one simple team, but spread out through a whole organization of 1,000 employees. Imagine the level of productivity and new ideas that are generated every single day just from the cultural diversity of a business, right? Like you get so much traction from something like that, and it just helps a business grow significantly. And in my own experience, I as a person have just grown by learning from the people that we have globally, right? They have some pretty unique ideas, and it's potentially sometimes not something I would have thought of myself.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really great to hear. It's I think like reflecting that on my own life a little bit, you know, myself and you, like we met, like we grew up in Canada. I always think and how grateful I am to have such a multicultural society to hang out, to learn, understand their backgrounds, understand their different ideas. And, you know, those ideas that you're speaking of that can allow your team to grow so much more efficiently and, you know, garner new ideas from around the globe. I think just rolling off of that is you also learn, I think one major thing is the communication styles of different cultures, right? So, you know, it's that cross-cultural communication. I think that in general, companies, not just U.S. companies, just companies in general, especially software companies, you know, going international, you must be, you know, really intelligent and pick up the ability of cross-cultural communication, as well as communicating remotely over, you know, say Slack, for example, as a tool, or any other messaging apps, or Zoom, or even video conferencing. So I'll say one, I personally think that one of my greatest strengths is just communicating across different cultures and understanding little nuances within their culture or their tonality or the way they speak non-verbally and verbally. How would you say that, you know, working for a U.S. remote company with an international background, like how do you say that helps on the communication side of things? Like, where do you see that going into the future as well?
It's immense. It's immense. I mean, I can't even begin to describe or quantify how much I've grown just as a person by working in a globally diverse workforce, right? And so one of the biggest things, Forbes released, you know, a report saying that companies that have culturally diverse programs see a massive increase in productivity. And I personally think that's simply because you're really forced to be curious. And in kind of looking at Clipboard Health as an example, one of our key pillars is curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're trying to be an effective contributor to the business, to the team, and even your own independent projects, you need to have an understanding of a person themselves. And like you said, different cultural nuances and things that may be different from us than from them. And it forces you to be curious, which is such a valuable skill to have, right? Like I have to get to know somebody and understand their culture, their background, their experience. A kind of side benefit of that is you get that level of engagement that you would normally have in a business. it's kind of the same feeling as if you just walked across to a different cubicle and said, hey there, Bob, how are you doing? Hey, teach me about your culture and I want to learn more about you, right? Very similar, yeah. Because you get that level of engagement and connection with people around the globe and you just get to learn from them. And it instills this level of curiosity. I personally feel that now that when we recruit from different areas outside of our local regions, I can communicate better with different people that we're bringing onto the team, which is fantastic. So that means more talent for the business, better talent for the business, and just really we get to expand our scope of hiring and talent. So it's
nice.
It's insane.
That's awesome. No, great. Really good to hear that curiosity piece. I think that's a cornerstone of, you know, actually both of our friendships. I think that we're both curious people, and I think that, you know, that's why I really enjoy speaking with you. And you know, catching up with thoughts and, you know, curiosity in one piece. I think a lot of people are curious to know, you know, if you're working for a remote organization, you know, obviously if you work in an office or you have been, you know, working in an office your entire life, a physical location, a corporate office with cubicles, et cetera, you know, some companies will have, you know, Friday events or, you know, kind of team bonding events. How does that play out working for a company that's in the US right now? And does your team do anything like that to build morale and collaboration on a less formal scale?
Yeah, absolutely. And so kind of speaking on the first point you'd mentioned is that transition from, you know, being in person and whatnot is, it's not quite as difficult as everybody thinks they are. It is, right? And the reason for that is you just have to take a bit more initiative to create that environment to be more social, right? I mean, a lot of the skills you learn, like for example, one of them being time management, allows you to just manage your time better. And for example, that piece of curiosity that I mentioned earlier, you have to implement that and schedule time in with someone to get to know them. You put in your calendar. So really the big thing is you need to be able to manage your time better. And myself as a manager, we have to work around the different time zones. So on Fridays, for example, we as a team, we've picked a common time for all of us to just hang out outside of work. And this is simply like Friday, end of the day, you know, we're all just sitting around speaking after work. We're getting to know what our weekend plans are. We're just getting to know each other as individuals and human beings and just sit there and really just discuss things that are outside of work, right? And that's kind of like it's equivalent to, you know, an office lunchroom or like a coffee room or break room, right? You all just sit around, you get to know each other. And I know a lot of businesses also have taken to having things like all hands, for example, like a massive company-wide meeting where you get to interact with different departments and you get to learn from them and whatnot. So a lot of businesses have already really prepared for something like this where they're trying to maximize the level of communication across all teams and they have little rituals and or even give you as a manager the flexibility to create these little rituals, right? So businesses have really adapted well to something like this.
That's great. Really cool to hear. Yeah, maybe I'll take some of those ideas and pass it on to VanHack. We do have we do actually have some fun stuff like that as well. For example, we had a Halloween event, which is pretty cool. But that's really good to hear. I think that the audience that we're speaking to, you know, the majority of them haven't, you know, worked for an organization internationally, remotely or in the States, et cetera. You know, I think this is your first role that you've taken that's outside of your current country. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So for somebody that is curious to know, you know, how difficult it is to transition to, you know, working internationally, is there a lot of roadblocks? Is there any, you know, challenges that you faced or anything that you would give somebody in your own shoes right before you joined Clipboard Health? Like any tips or anything that they should look forward to or you know, look to as a challenge?
That's a great question. One of the bigger things, especially, is to understand the different ways you have to actually specifically, I want to say, know the limitations between country to country. So, for example, working for a country in the U.S. might have different, like, for example, tax regulations, or a company from Argentina might have different tax laws. So you'll have to know those before you get into something like that so that you can prepare as you go and work for the company. And then a few other things is keep an open mind. Joining, for example, the Clipboard Health, I thought it was going to be, you know, very complex working around something like a time zone or working with other people globally. And in my mind, I was like, wow, this is going to be very difficult. But again, when you bring in an open mind, a level of curiosity to really understand not only the people, but the practices and what companies do to succeed, mm-hmm. you'll succeed, right? You just kind of go with nice. The flow and try to make things work.
Yeah. No, I like that ideal to definitely continue that curiosity and open-mindedness. I think I just want to add, I mean, it'll be a quick point, but it can be, this is like a completely different, it could be a completely different webinar, but we have a couple of partners in Deal and Remote that deal with the compliance side of things. So for anybody that's curious about that, feel free to reach out to me post-event. It deals with the compliance and payroll. So it's not quite as difficult as you might think, but that's another webinar in itself. I'll say, you know, obviously there's a lot of business that, you know, goes through the U.S. I mean, it's largest industry, largest economy. You know, is there, like, obviously you're from Canada and you're working for a U.S. organization. You know, obviously it's to be said in a polite manner. It's like, hey, look, you're working for a U.S. company. It looks fantastic on a resume, right? A lot of the industry work is centered around the U.S., excuse me. You want to touch briefly on, you know, how that might look to, you know, future work, or, you know, it must be nice to also, you know, have that U.S. dollar at the end of the pay stub, right? So, you know, briefly, you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, as simply as put as I can, it really, the big mm-hmm. thing that, that'll really stand out on your resume is the fact that you're getting to understand two different markets, right? For example, if you're working for a Canadian market is completely different from a U.S. market, and even touching parts on the difference in culture, right? You get to learn different way. For example, if we're looking specifically at sales, you get to learn how sales is different in the U.S. than it is in Canada. Although maybe the the structure may be the same, the people that you're specifically targeting, or the client base, or even some the ways that you would speak to someone is completely different across the globe. And so that looks massive on a resume, especially if you're a software developer, for example, trying to work at a startup who hasn't quite understood where their best market is, or doesn't know where they're going to expand to next. If you have that experience working across different markets, they'll more potentially look at you to be the one running or spearheading that project because you have that experience working in that market. So it's always a good idea to keep your options open and never limit yourself just to one specific area, just because, for example, it's like the US, Argentina, wherever it is, right? You don't want to limit yourself, because then you just limit your potential to grow with the business.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good answer. I like that. Yeah, just definitely just have that open mind to work you know, within the US. There's definitely a lot of opportunities there, but there's a lot of opportunities around the world right now, and it's moving pretty quickly. You know, I think that, I mean, I before I joined VanHack, I used to work for a company where I had to commute in every day, you know, and saving on that commute was massive for me. I can enjoy my morning ritual you know, getting the coffee going and start off on a good note here. You know, I want to touch on a little bit more about, you know, that travel, you know, saving time on the travel, as well as, you know, oftentimes when traveling, you're, you know, the second point is, you know, the holidays thing, right? So, you know, I want to touch a little bit about travel and how do holidays work within your organization, your team?
Yeah. when we're looking at travel, so I completely understand that frustration, Sean. I really, previous to this, previous to working with Clipboard, I used to do door to door. The amount of travel you had to do there was I mean, especially as a manager, in a lot of cases, some of the team members you brought on don't actually have personal vehicles. You have to go and pick them up, and they're all the way on the other side of town. And that commute to pick them up, drop them off, et cetera, is quite of a hassle. And even previous to that, I had to drive 45 minutes to my workplace and then come back home through traffic, which took me 2 hours to do in some cases, even more if there's an accident. And so the commute not only is another benefit for your own personal health and your work-life balance, but that time you're saving, the money you're saving from commuting from place to place, and even going into the example I brought in earlier, just something as simple as having to go get lunch, right? You're saving yourself an immense amount of time. You might not believe it, but rather than having, you know, a full working in a business or in person in an office for a combined total of 10 hours, that includes, for example, commute, lunch break, everything. Now you're exactly working 40 hours a week. So as soon as you sit down on your chair, you're logged in, you're good to go, minus a lunch, 30-minute, one-hour lunch break, whatever. But you are locked in. You are putting in 40 productive hours of work throughout the week rather than, you know, a potential six because or potential, what is it, like six or eight, maybe less because of the commute and all the combined level of, time that you have to put through into it, right?
Yeah. Hey, not to mention gas prices right now aren't really fun for auto commuters at all. And I think across the world, people can relate to that. And then touching on the second topic, you know, how does, you know, holidays work on a team that's internationally based, but also based in the U.S., HQ in the U.S.?
I believe it is a little different. In the U.S., obviously, they follow more of the U.S. holidays. A lot of the workplaces will actually give you, for example, potentially for someone who's in Canada, a lot of workplaces will give you the flexibility to not only take U.S. holidays, but also request that you take the Canadian holidays off as well.
I see.
Right? Yep. And that just goes into the diversity part of it is businesses have to understand that there are specific holidays for every for everywhere that you're going to be hiring for. For example, it's considered, I believe in the Philippines, it's considered a holiday to go vote. Like they give you that holiday to go vote. Yeah. And so that kind of consideration, especially from remote workplaces, just goes and speaks on the inclusion of culture and diversity throughout the entire business. It's so cool. So, so cool.
Wow. That's definitely a new thing I learned today. I didn't know that. I think that might be something that a lot of countries can take on. I think that would improve voting, but that is very interesting. I love the Philippines and, you know, what a beautiful country and workforce and group there. Is there any other things about your team that you want to highlight or, you know, obviously you have your team across the world. Like, is there anything that you'd like to highlight or you're very proud of in the last little bit that, you know, something somebody might not have been able to do if they're not internationally working?
Well, I think one of the things to highlight is, the skills and the qualities that actually that you get to improve while you're working remote, right? One of the things, Sean, you had mentioned earlier was communication, right? Both verbal and written. And I think that is massive, especially in a remote world. Everything you do has to be clear, concise, and you have to be able to communicate in a concise manner. Because again, we have eight really productive work hours through the day, and we want to make sure we can maximize every minute. So being a clear and concise communicator is something that you'll just naturally learn and continue to grow with your remote business, right? One of the things I think that really stands out is the capacity to work independently and really just be more reliable and independent to take more initiative, right? And the reason I say that is because there's nobody over your shoulder watching you do the work, right? Yep. It's a little different from the office where you know, the CEO could be walking around and, you know, looking over your shoulder and being like, "Hey there, buddy, how you doing?" And slapping you in the back of back and checking in on your work. Here you work completely independently, even independent of your own team members and sometimes.
Yep.
And they expect you to have the work completed when the deadlines meet, right? Or when the deadlines hit, right? They expect your work to be flawless. They expect you to reach out in case you need help. So all these things combined really help me become more of an independent worker, more reliable, and really take more initiative to reach out. So the last thing I want to say here about working remotely is you need to, it kind of touches back on the environment portion of it, but you need to be able to have an environment that motivates you, right? I say that because when you, right, for example, right now I'm just in a separate room that I've used to create an office with. I don't have someone right beside me saying, "Hey, you know what, get this done," or checking in on me or anything like that. And you need to be able to self-motivate yourself. And a lot of that comes from your environment, right? Putting little reminders of why you're doing things and why you even push yourself, you know, to great lengths to make sure your work is great. Right. So, the ability to self-motivate can be completely created by yourself. And that's again, environment, setting up little habits, et cetera. But, for anyone wondering or thinking about going remote versus their current in-person role, I'd highly, highly recommend it. You learn so much, and you can still get a very equivalent level of human interaction over a communication platform than you normally would in person. And even then, you still have the weekends too, right? I mean, you can just go out down the street and meet your friends and be like, "Hey, what's up? I'm done work," right? So you have a much better work-life balance and time management. So highly recommend those considering it.
Yeah, I'll double down on the productivity piece. It's definitely interesting. You don't have your direct manager right behind you, right? So it's up to you to be proactive and, get your tasks done, get your list done for the day. And I touched earlier on, you might be able to cut some, more time out of your week if you're able to get that all completed. One thing people might be asking is, what are meetings like? Is there a team meeting for across different, like, if you want to have a meeting with your team specifically across all time zones, what does that look like on a weekly basis? When does that come in? Or what is that scheduled for?
Well, a lot of businesses will already create a common kind of a common time zone to work under. And so what happens is, regardless of, the people we hire, we obviously have to figure out what time zone, what their working hours are going to be and try to make that flexible. But a lot of the times when, if, for example, I want to have a team meeting with a different team as well, that we'll be working in the same hours, simply about checking the calendar to see if they're free, making sure we're working within their time, the time they're working in as well. But it's, it's actually not as difficult, right? Everyone's typically working on a set schedule as well. So for example, it could be 8 to 4 Eastern. Everyone just works in that and their time zone just revolves around working 8 to 4 Eastern. Right. And so it's quite easy actually.
Okay. No, that's good to hear. Yeah. That's similarly to us. Like we just look across the calendars and, book that time. It's usually around that time, the same that you say earlier in the afternoon. I don't think it's an issue there. I think that, especially across engineering teams, right? Like a lot of them are more independent than, in a sales organization, right? So like a lot of the scrum meetings will happen first thing in the morning, but then the rest of the day they'll work on, their coding on their own. But, I think that's fantastic that, you can still meet like that. Other than that is, for working on a team, that you have, when you build your team out like that, is there a specifics that you would look for in a candidate? Like I think you do the interview process, right? Like you have a major part, you're the direct report. Like how would you, is there anything that, being an employer from the US, is there anything that you would, help our candidates with, or would you recommend any tips to prepare before an interview, how to present yourself, anything along the lines of interview process?
Are you asking more specifically for candidates in the US?
For candidates that are international looking to work remotely for a US organization.
Absolutely. I want to say adaptability is key. And this is just for me speaking in startup terms. For a lot of people who are looking to work in remote businesses, whether they're startup or whatever, things change quickly, right? Especially in a work in a remote work environment, communication is 10x faster. I mean, I just shoot off a message. Okay. I talk to someone, I meet someone, and boom, a change happens almost instantly, right? So adaptability and being to kind of be able to adapt to sudden changes is something that I think is a key for working in my experience for a startup, right? Especially, again, things happen quickly. Communication is a lot. There's less of a delay between the communication of the people who can make it happen and the person who had the idea, right? And so things change quickly. Adaptability would be massive. Such a great kind of quality to have in candidates from around the world. But at the same time, we don't limit ourselves specifically to just that that quality. There's so many things that make such a great candidate. And although someone might be lacking that adaptability, for example, they can make up for it and kind of make up for it in other areas, right? So I would just say adaptability is definitely a really good to have skill.
Sure. And going off that, like how would one show adaptability in an interview with you? Say if I was the interviewee and you're the interviewer, what would I, how would I show that? If how would somebody show that in an interview?
That would really be giving an example of a time where something happened very quickly and you had to all of a sudden forget everything you know about any previous, previous process or a previous product that the business had, and how you quickly learned how to either work with work under the process or present the product or whatever it may be. Just having an example or some type of story ready, just to kind of demonstrate that you know how to just, hey, we have to change this. Great, I'm gonna and what the process is like actually for you adapting to that change. So Do you book off time at the end of the day to actually learn this? Like, does it take you a week to do it, or do you book it within 1 or 2 days, right? Like, little indicators like that are massive to show, hey, when a change happens, I take that ownership and I am quick to just make the adjustments so that I can, so it doesn't disturb my work habit, right? So those are some key things I would recommend for someone who's looking to present adaptability. Just be ready for it. Just have,
the ability to show that in an example. Like, I like that. I like that.
Exactly.
And I really like that. So, you know, going off a little bit on continuing that idea around, you know, how that interview might look, you know, one of the pillars of VanHack is we have no borders, right? You know, code has no borders. As long as you have the ability to understand how to code and the principles behind us being a software engineer, we have no issues, you know, bringing you on, and we want to proliferate that and bring it to companies in the US, right? So, you know, how would you say that, you know, digging into that and, you know, say, you know, obviously, like, there's different accesses around the world, and that might be a communication barrier, but it surely shouldn't be. Like, there shouldn't be one, as long as you can communicate properly, like the essentials, get your work done, and you're, you know, fantastic, at your work. Do you find any challenges? Like, has there been anything that would worry, you know, a potential person looking into a U.S. company? But obviously your team is international. Like, tell me a little bit more, like, how that all fits in together, or that you know, communication style, especially for a sales role.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in a sales role, it's a bit more crucial to have communication as one of the key pillar stones of success, really, in a sales role. Not only that, but being, again, going back to adaptability, being able to adapt to, you know, the different call, like the US, for example, the market is completely different from somewhere around the globe, right? And so in the sales role, communication is a huge, huge component. It's something that we look for. I couldn't speak on software development, because that is a lot more hands-on. I'm curious to kind of hear from you, from VanHack, you know, what is it like in regards to kind of adapting to that different level of communication across the world?
Yeah, no, good question. So VanHack, like, a lot of our teammates are in South America, and it's part of what inspired me to come to South America in the first place. I, you know, just hearing about we do random coffee dates. So what we do is we connect with somebody random on the team. It could be from any department. And just hearing initially when I started this, the different, you know, different concepts and stories that they had of their home places really inspired me. And obviously, like, you know, there's different communication styles and whatnot, but at the end of the day, it's the passion for your work that shines through, and the passion for your work shines through in the end result. It shines through in your collaboration with others. It shines through with how you interact with outsiders, you know, like other organizations that interact with us. And like, it does not matter. Like, it's the integrity and the ideals of that person, and it is their work ethic that shines through. And I think that, you know, a lot of our talk today has been around like greater ideals. And I think that, you know, companies will look for good people. Like, every company is looking for a really good person. And you know, a lot of these barriers that people, it's more like limiting of beliefs that, you know, this hiring in the US has been open for a while. It's so cool that VanHack is, you know, bringing more information forward about how easy it is to get hired with companies in the US. You know, our entire platform, we have over 400,000 developers on our platform. And a lot of remote companies in the US are continuing to pop up, right? So like, I have conversations weekly on new companies in the US popping up and, you know, hiring in the US. I think that, you know, going through this, if you are, you know, if you're very hard worker, if you have good work ethic, you have good ideals, if you have a person of integrity, you should not be shy to have that open in your mind to work internationally. I think it'll open up so many more opportunities, right? Like, I mean, we do relocation as well, but along the same lines, US work and remote US work is popping up a lot. That is definitely a trend on the upward slope. Especially as, you know, companies do not renew their office space, as companies look to hire remotely to expand their hiring strategy, the market is going that direction, no matter if you like it or not. If companies that do not take on that are literally, you know, cutting themselves, you know, short on talent. So, to answer your question, I think that, you know, if you think that you're a good worker and you are a good person and you have hard work ethic and you have good integrity and you have the ideals, there's no reason why you cannot, break through your comfort zone and apply for these roles and, potentially even get that job, right? So I think that, work with our team to get your profile set up on VanHack, clean up your resume, and we have interview prep as well that can help you out. And I don't see why not any candidate around the world can work for a U.S. company, get those great skills, put on their resume, and continue to grow as a human being.
Absolutely. And I, something that I really love that you said was just the quality of work of someone, right? And there's so much communication out there nowadays communication software that's out there that nowadays are tools that'll help you break that barrier of communication between you and millions of candidates around the world. That it's no longer really about that, right? It's really now about, can you complete the work? Show me what level of quality work you have. Give me a time where, you went above and beyond, right? And I completely agree with that statement. And I'm a little curious, now that you're currently in Colombia, kind of getting an idea and getting to know some of your colleagues, I'm curious for you, especially, VanHack being a culturally diverse location as well, how has that helped you grow as an individual, coming into, I know you were working previously in an office, non-remote, but then you moved into remote as well. So how's that helped you grow?
You know, that's a fantastic question. I think, so I've been in Colombia for about 2 weeks. I came to Colombia, with zero Spanish. So that is quite the challenge right now. I just started doing Spanish classes and I'm learning the basics. I'm learning how to survive. I'm learning how to order food and, get around town and, not pass, make my way around town. I'll touch on your first point here. Like, I've definitely been relying on tools, translator tools like Google Translate for anything complicated. Talking to the locals here and connect. But growing as a person, I think the biggest thing is I have to double down on my nonverbal communications, obviously. So, for things that I want, like say I want to purchase that food item or that drink, nonverbal communications, asking directions, et cetera. That's something that my major in university was communications and my favorite class was nonverbal communications. And it's such a path of mastery that you can never get perfect. So, the fact that I have to double down and remember the basics and then take it to somewhere that's another language is fantastic. It also helped me grow on the side of understanding the local culture of Latin America. I mean, I haven't traveled anywhere else yet in Latin America. I do plan on booking some of those closer to Christmas, but unfortunately, I haven't been able to connect with any of my colleagues here yet. They're in Colombia in particular, but there are a big portion of our team around Latin America that I do plan on connecting with. My point is that it really gets your ability to understand the local culture even more so, because my previous understanding of, Latin American culture is just from, my friends that are from Latin America and Canada, which is different, right? Like we're speaking English and they're telling me things about, food or culture or, dance is massive here. Like dance is such a big, part of the culture. So being on, Latin American soil, fully engulfing myself in, the culture is, bringing my cross-cultural communication skills even further. I find that the Latin American culture is really warm. Like everybody is like, buenas, ¿cómo está? Like right off the bat, right? Like you're in an elevator. It is, you're talking to everybody. You're saying, hello, how are you? And how's your day going? I'm almost, it's fantastic being able to have the opportunity to do that because one, I am working remotely and that's a big benefit that I think a lot of people should keep in mind. But just to sum it up, it's the cross-cultural communication and the nonverbal communication I'm really growing at right now. And I can only see how much more I can grow here in the next few months. I'm really excited to do that. With that, I think that's a good way to cap it off. I appreciate
Absolutely. We have 1 or 2 minutes left, but I just want to throw a quick question back at you that you'd asked at me. For those people who are wondering or are curious about, the remote work lifestyle, what would you say to them? What's one piece of advice you would give to them that, you had initially, either whether it was a worry or something you're really excited about, what was that one piece of advice you'd give them?
Yeah, I think that the first challenge is like, hey, look, like, you know, am I going to miss, you know, being like, I really enjoyed my, like, growing up in my sales career, just, you know, being in a team environment, like, you know, being that camaraderie, that that team bonding. And that still happens. That is, like, we have team meetings. I get to know people very well, like, even might even be even more well than I would be in an office. So I think that they should just have confidence to move forward and jump into it. And the benefits that are reaped once you are in a remote environment, working for a company in Canada or the US, they're fantastic, right? So, you know, you grow so much quicker, you gain communication skills at an exponential rate, and the flexibility and the diversity on the teams is fantastic. So, yeah, with that, I think
that was a great way to cap it off. That was a great answer.
Yeah, awesome. I think that was fantastic. I really appreciate this conversation, Victor. Like, you know, very nuanced conversation, and I appreciate the time. Victor, do you have any last words other than that?
Yeah, best of luck to everyone looking for remote work. And again, just be confident. Really, really study your market, do everything you can, but just keep an open mind when you're looking for remote work, because, you know, as you know, there's a lot of benefits discussed here. So,
perfect. That's awesome. No, thank you for so much. And for everybody listening, thank you for coming to Van HackCon. Thank you for listening to our chat. And, you know, feel free to reach out to myself or anybody else on our team if you need any help, you know, navigating your way through. And thank you so much, Victor, again, for joining us in the chat. We really appreciate your insights today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Van Hack Podcast. Make sure to create your account at vanhack.com to access jobs that are hiring from abroad.